Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the 14th chapter of Matthew. There are 36 verses in this chapter, translation and commentary. And also, this is part 15 of receiving the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have some letters. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask him to bless this service. Father God, we ask that you pour outward the anointing of the baptism of the Holy Spirit on this service. We ask, Lord, that you open up the spiritual eyes and ears of the listeners so that they are able to see the true meaning of your word, so that they are able to see and hear the true meaning of your word. And the reason for our receiving the fullness of the stature of Christ, and the reason for us to be able to understand the reason why we must be consecrated to you, Father. The reason for it is that you bought us, you purchased us, and if we forget that, every time that we get angry, we should remember that any time we get angry at you, Father, or your word, we should remember that you bought us and that we are your slave. Then that's what we're supposed to be, and that we don't want to fall back under the condemnation of the law. And every time that we're confronted with any type of a situation, we have to remember that we're consecrated because we don't want to fall back under the condemnation of the law. That we want to, it's not a situation of a love thing or a mood thing. Love is a mood, and we don't want to be involved with love or a mood to serve you. We have to serve you whether we're in the mood for it or not. We have to remember that. And so, Lord, we pray that people will begin understanding the reason for consecration is the fact that you have bought us from under the condemnation of the law. Because the law never goes away. The law is permanent, and we become under the condemnation of it if we are not consecrated after you purchased us. Lord, anoint everything that is done in this service. Anoint your word, because the word says that the letter, if it's not anointed with your spirit, it'll kill. But if it is anointed with your spirit, it'll bring forth life. Father, Lord and God, we ask that people will receive the emphasis that you're placing on remaining consecrated, being consecrated, being separated from sin, Satan, and the world. It was not sin, Satan, and the world that you purchased us from, because it was sin, Satan, and the world that caused us to be placed under the condemnation of the world. Sin, Satan, and the world are the very things that caused us to be under the condemnation of the law. And therefore, the law legally has us, and we are the prisoners of the law, the condemnation of the law, but you purchased us. You gave your life, you shed your blood, and you rose from the dead, showing that if we're in you, and if we continue in your word, that is, we don't get angry with it, we don't wait for ourselves to get into the mood to serve you, but we, because of the fact that we are consecrated, because we must be consecrated in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, that we must serve you whether we feel like serving you or not. This is the emphasis that you are placing on these messages in this late hour, the last hours or the last moments of time. And we thank and praise you for it, Lord. We ask that you cause the people in Radio Land to be able to receive this message, and that it edifies the church, and that it brings people to the saving knowledge of you, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, you're coming back to earth again. Jesus, you are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. and we want to be ready. And if there's any sin on our soul, then we're under the condemnation of the law, and we will not be able to enter the kingdom of heaven, but we'll be spending eternity in the hell and in the lake of fire, where the fire is unquenchable. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, Father, we ask that everyone receives these messages with thanksgiving in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now where's the first letter from?
By Salabad, Pakistan.
Okay, read it.
Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, I received your newsletter box a few days ago, and I distributed them to everyone in all the schools and different relatives. Your literature has really inspired me. It is indeed very helpful and has saved many lives from sins and brought many lives nearer to God. I really like the testimonies of different people around the globe. Your literature is working in many people's lives here. I'm looking forward to have 3 to 4 boxes of literature monthly that me and my group can distribute them all around. Please also send us good amount of Bibles in the Urdu language that we can distribute them to the poor Christian community so they can read and worship the Lord and give glory to the name of God. And you asked about Alamo Ministry's shirt, size and color. Please send me small size white shirts for the poor Christian children. And at the end, I'll say that God keeps you and your ministry in His safe hands and gives you more strength to serve the humanity and give glory to the name of God. Yours in God, Reverend Dan from Faisalabad, Pakistan.
All right, and where's the next letter from, please?
From Swaziland, Africa. Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings to you, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through God our Father and through Jesus Christ our Lord. For the Father lavished His love upon us that we should be called the children of God. I would like to thank you for the materials that you have sent to me. May the God of our Lord bless you abundantly through all His riches.
One of the things that the Lord impressed on me just when you read that is we're not the children of God if we're still sinning. If we're arguing with the Scriptures and we don't receive the Scriptures as they are, we have to remember always that we have to remain consecrated. We have to remember always that God has bought us and that we don't belong to ourselves anymore. We're not our own. The Lord has bought us. And it's just as if we bought a house, we have the right to live in it. And if we rent a house, we even have the right to live in it. And the Lord bought us, purchased us with His blood. And therefore, He has the right to live in us. And any time that we have an argument with the Lord, we have to say, take the position as the slave. Lord, You bought us. We're not our own. We're Your slave. And we have to do what You say. Because if we don't, then we become chaff. You stated that, so it's not a matter of love, it's a matter of that we must do it, whether we feel like it or not. Amen?
Amen.
All right, go ahead.
Here at school, most of the people who have gotten saved are school students. As I distributed to them your newsletter, they attended the service, and praise God, 30 students received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I want to win them all by God's grace.
Right. How many souls have you won out there in Radio Land, those of you that are listening? And how many of you that are in churches have won one soul to the Lord? The Lord doesn't want us to come to Him empty-handed. That's what the song about bringing in the sheaves is all about. We will come rejoicing, bringing many souls with us. The Lord has given us His Word, which is a tremendous treasure. It is our salvation, and it is our stability, and He has given us the power to separate ourselves from sin, Satan, and the world, to consecrate ourselves, separate ourselves. And so, therefore, if we don't do what He says, that's sin. Disobedience to the Lord is sin. Now, during the day, we're always going to be confronted with one situation after the other, and we have to handle these situations according to the word of the Lord. And if we don't, then we have, and if we don't remember, we have to keep reminding ourselves that we have to face every confrontation with the word of God. Because when we don't, then we are falling away from consecration. We're falling back into sin, Satan, and the world. The Lord is our Lord and Master, and we are His slaves, and we have to remember to be humble ourselves before the Word of God. Humbling ourselves before the Word of God means that we are consecrated, we're separated from doing things our own way, from doing things according to the way we feel. And serving the Lord is not feelings, or, like I said, love is a feeling or a mood, and we can't do that. Sometimes we feel good and sometimes we feel bad. Sometimes we love and sometimes we don't love. Sometimes we feel like doing something and sometimes we don't. But when it comes to a confrontation of something that is against the Word of God, we have to do what the Lord says, whether we feel like it or not. And people that take the position that they can do whatever they want and say whatever they want and do whatever they feel that they can leave the church and leave the body of Christ and be bad testimonies and just flaunt it in front of everybody in the church, you're not consecrated at all from the Lord, from the world, from sin, Satan, and the world. What you are is you've consecrated yourself unto sin, Satan, and the world. And if you want to make it into heaven, just attending church services is not enough. Just listening to the tapes is not enough. Receiving the things that I'm saying is not enough. Having them in your heart is not enough. You have to actually do what I'm saying, because the Bible says this. You must reject everything that is contrary to the Word of God. That is true consecration. Now, there's a lot of churches that they say, well, we're too strict. I didn't write the Bible. I just obey it. The Bible says that we're not to disobey His Word. And He says that we have to be zealous to do everything that He says. So it is straight and it is narrow. So you could say, well, you're very narrow-minded. We have to be narrow-minded to be able to enter into the kingdom of God, because it's a narrow path. I don't want to be broad-minded about the things that the Lord says. I have to look at everything narrowly and do what God said, and you will do also. And if you have an argument with that, then you've fallen away from consecration. You've separated yourself from God and fallen back into sin, Satan, and the world. Remember that, because it's the truth. All right, then what?
Please, Pastor, send me many newsletters and Bibles for the students who have repented. I thank God there is a lot of change and God is doing new things all the time. I want to thank the Lord that now we are preaching the Word of God in the morning and during lunchtime. I thank the Lord who has opened this new door to us. I believe that God is above all things. He is going to do a lot of miracles here.
Amen. Then what?
Now the exact number of students who are saved is 50 students. Day by day, God is doing new things. I thank you for your vision, Pastor, that you have. Even wherever I am, my aim is to win souls to Christ. God must be with you and those people who are busy serving in your ministry. Your son in Christ, Hugh, from Swaziland, Africa.
Well, praise the Lord for you, Hugh. Praise God. Is that it?
Yes.
All right. Now, let's go into the 14th chapter of Matthew, 36 verses, because of the fact that the Lord usually gives me a lot of commentary, and we have an hour on the air, and we're all over the world now, and if there's any of you that would like to know the call letters of the station that we're on in your area, email us or fax us or call us. What's the email number again?
info@alamoministries.com.
And do you have the fax number?
Yes, it's 479-782-7406.
That's the fax number. And so we'll be able to tell you, it just would be too large of a thing for us to print up and for us to read over the air here to tell you all the different stations that we're on in the different areas. Just call or fax if you really want to tune in to these broadcasts. We're also on our website with these broadcasts. So keep in touch. Let us know if you want to hear them. And that way, if you have friends in different areas that you'd like them to hear the broadcast, email us and we'll tell you what station we're on and what the number on their radio dial we are. They can find us. All right, then go ahead.
The death of John the Baptist, verse 1. When Herod Antipas heard about Jesus, verse 2, he said to his advisors, quote, "This must be John the Baptist come back to life again," exclamation mark. "This is why he can do such miracles," unquote. Verse 3, for Herod had arrested and imprisoned John as a favor to his wife Herodias, the former wife of Herod's brother Philip. Verse 4, John kept telling Herod, quote, "It is illegal for you to marry her," unquote.
All we're required to do is tell them once. Amen?
Amen.
Then if you just keep rubbing it in to just one person, there are tens of thousands of people in Israel that he could have been witnessing to instead of this King Herod. You're an adulterer, sir, and if you continue in your adultery, if you have consecrated yourself unto sin, Satan, and the world, there's no hope for you in eternity. You're going to spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth because the fire is unquenchable there. It will not be put out. And there's no parole board there. You're never going to get out. There's no exit signs in hell or the lake of fire. You're there eternally, permanently. All right, go ahead.
Verse 5. Herod would have executed John, but he was afraid of a riot because all the people believed John was a prophet.
And he used to like to listen to John, too, with the exception of him telling the king, you know, that he was living in adultery and living incestuously with, later on when he had sexual relationships with his stepdaughter. Then what?
Verse 6. But at a birthday party for Herod, Herodias' daughter performed a dance that greatly pleased him. Verse 7. So he promised with an oath to give her anything she wanted. Verse 8. At her mother's urging, the girl asked, quote, "I want the head of John the Baptist on a tray," exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 9. The king was sorry, but because of his oath and because he didn't want to back down in front of his guests, he issued the necessary orders. Verse 10. So John was beheaded in the prison. Verse 11. And his head was brought on a tray and given to the girl who took it to her mother. Verse 12. John's disciples came for his body and buried it. Then they told Jesus what had happened. Jesus feeds 5,000. Verse 13. As soon as Jesus heard the news, he went off by himself in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed by land from many villages. Verse 14. A vast crowd was there as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion upon them and healed their sick. Verse 15. That evening the disciples came to them and said, quote, "This is a desolate place, and it is getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves," unquote. Verse 16. But Jesus replied, quote, "That isn't necessary. You feed them," unquote. Verse 17, quote, "Impossible!" exclamation mark, unquote, they exclaimed. Quote, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 18, quote, "Bring them here," unquote, he said. Verse 19, then he told the people to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven and asked God's blessing on the food. Breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave some of the bread and fish to each disciple, and the disciples gave them to the people. Verse 20. They all ate as much as they wanted, and they picked up 12 baskets of leftover. Verse 21. About 5,000 men had eaten from those 5 loaves, in addition to all women and children, exclamation mark. Jesus walking on water. Verse 22. Immediately after this, Jesus made his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. Verse 23. Afterward, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Verse 24. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble, far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. Verse 25. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them walking on the water. Verse 26. When the disciples saw him, they screamed in terror, thinking he was a ghost. Verse 27. But Jesus spoke to them at once. Quote, "It's all right," unquote, he said. Quote, "I am here," exclamation mark, "don't be afraid," unquote. Verse 28. Then Peter called to him, quote, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you by walking on water," unquote. Verse 29. Quote, "All right, come," unquote, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. Verse 30. But when he looked around at the high waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Quote, "Save me, Lord!" exclamation mark, unquote, he shouted. Verse 31. Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed him. Quote, "You don't have much faith," unquote, Jesus said. Quote, "Why did you doubt me?" unquote. Verse 32. And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Verse 33. Then the disciples worshipped him. Quote, "You really are the Son of God," unquote, they exclaimed. Verse 34. After they had crossed the lake, they landed at Gennesaret. Verse 35. The news of their arrival spread quickly throughout the whole surrounding area, and soon people were bringing all their sick to be healed. Verse 36. The sick begged him to let them touch even the fringe of his robe, and all who touched it were healed.
All right. The reason I have people read is because I am legally blind. That doesn't mean I'm stone blind by any means. I can still get around real good. It's very hard for me to read quickly. I read on a seeing machine, and this is where I do the tapes. And then the tapes are typed up, and then they read them over the air. And I make commentary. I also write commentary. I dictate it on tape. And also different other subjects I cover on the tape, and they're typed up, and then we read them over the phone, over the radio here. All right, so now, is that, what was that now?
That was verse 36.
Okay, now the commentary, chapter 14.
Having God deal with our defects can be frightening. We may stay trapped in destructive life patterns because we fear change. If we wait for all our fears to go away before we take steps, we will never make significant progress in growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ.
Now remember, see, change, you mustn't change from the Word of God. You must put on the Word of God, which is Christ. We have to know what the Word says and then do it. This is consecration from the world and consecration to the Lord. And when we do that, one thing you mustn't do is change from the Word, because the Word is our consecration. And then what?
Courage isn't the absence of fear. Courage means that we take advantage of the little strength we find within ourselves, that we find little ways to encourage ourselves, and that we stubbornly stick to God's program for us.
See, the strength that we get is the Word of God. God is our strength. Amen?
Amen.
And God increases our strength as we read His Word, because His Word is the Holy Spirit, His power. And we have received power when we receive the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God is the Holy Spirit, and it is life. Okay, then what?
Courage doesn't mean being free of fear. It means finding enough strength to take the next step. The disciples were terrified when they saw Jesus walking on the water. Quote, then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you by walking on water," unquote. Quote, "All right, come on," unquote, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he looked around at the high waves, he was terrified and began to sink.
You start believing in the waves. People believe in the problems of this world rather than the Word of God that says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then go ahead.
Quote, save me, Lord, unquote, he shouted. Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed him. Matthew 14, verses 28-31. Peter gathered up enough courage to take one step and venture out into a new experience. When he got in over his head, he called out to Jesus and found the help he needed. We only need to call out or to summon the courage to take the next step. This doesn't mean that we won't be afraid or don't need help. It does mean that with God's help, we are able to make it. All we need is the courage to just take one more step.
Just to trust the Lord. And if you follow him every step of the way, you'll always have the courage. You needn't fear anything if you trust in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
Praise the Lord! Exclamation mark. Chapter 14, verses 15-21. Jesus fed multitudes of hungry people on more than one occasion. See also chapter 15, verses 32-39. Jesus is not only able to do the impossible, which seems impossible, because everything he does is supernatural, but he's also concerned with our pressing human needs. He is committed to meeting our most basic physical needs as well, and he's given us the portion of faith so that we are able to believe that he's already healed us. So how much more is he committed to meeting our spiritual and our emotional needs related to our growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ? Jesus did not do everything himself. He relies on his body, his disciples, to help meet the people's needs. Jesus often meets our needs through human instruments. Jesus wants to live in and through us so that we can be the instruments that he uses to meet other people's needs.
Right. He was only one person. He was a human being, but he was begotten by God just as we are. When we receive God, the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Father by the Spirit in us. So, this is why when he was just one person on earth, now he's able to fill all of us with his presence. But back then, he sent his disciples out to minister, to heal people, to preach the gospel, and to cast out devils, and to raise the dead. And that way there were 13 of them, 12 disciples and himself. Now, because he went to the Father, he has become the quickening or life-giving spirit, and he's able to live in millions of us, if only you will receive him into yourself and begin living according to his word and forget about living after sin, Satan, and the world. So because he has purchased us from the condemnation of the law, we now have become his slave. If you refuse to be his slave, then you're back under the law. Either the law owns you or Christ owns you. Either the law owns you or God owns you. It can't be two different ways or any other way than that. You have to belong to the law, to the condemnation of the law, or to God. If you belong to God, you'd better do everything that he says. Otherwise, you have chosen to be under the condemnation of the law, because disobedience to the word of God is sin. And so you want to sin? Fine, the Lord says. You're a free moral agent. I gave you a will, and you can will to do whatever you will. And he would prefer that you would choose to do his will. Because not anything other than God's will. If you use your will, then you're back under the law, the condemnation of the law. And Jesus said that the law has not gone away. I did not come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. I show you that a person in a human body that is filled with the Spirit of myself, with my Father, are more than able to be consecrated unto the Word and can be no longer consecrated to sin, Satan, and the world. So this is just a simple 1-2-3 situation. Amen?
Amen.
Either choose being condemned by the law, or be, because you sinned, you were slaves of sin, Satan, and the world, or choose to be a slave of the Lord. One thing for sure, you're going to be a slave of the Lord, or a slave of sin, Satan, and the world. You're going to be, if you've chosen to be a slave of sin, Satan, and the world, then you're under the condemnation of the law of God, which never goes away. But if you've chosen to believe that God has purchased you from the law, the condemnation of it by the precious, and the price he paid was the blood and the life of his only begotten Son in whom he's well pleased, well then, if you choose that, well then you're not under the condemnation of the law anymore, and you're on your way to heaven. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then go ahead.
God may be working your recovery through concerned friends or others who are the members of Christ's body who are hurting like you are, and the Lord wants to use you in the same way for others. So we should never refuse the Lord to go out and help others and those of us who are of the Lord, and we're like little children, so that we can enter the kingdom of heaven. Should do everything in our power that God gives us when we see people that need help as well.
Right. See, if you don't, well, then you are disobeying God. You're sinning. Because the law says that we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then number two is that we have to love our neighbor as ourselves. So if you're unwilling to help them, and then you're also not loving the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And those are the two major laws, and he said if you break even the least of the laws of God, you've broken them all, and you're back under the condemnation of the law. And what is the condemnation of the law? It's an eternity in hell and the lake of fire, where the fire is unquenchable. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Isn't that simple?
Yeah.
Okay, and I'll tell you something, it's the most scriptural part of the Bible. This is when the fullness of the time came, God sent his Son into this world to redeem us from the condemnation of the law, and that we may become the sons of God. We're not a son of God, we're a son of Satan if we don't follow. If we're following sin, Satan, and the world, then we're sons of the devil. If we consecrate ourselves and we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, then we're sons of God. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that simple?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
As we have opportunities to help others, we need to encourage others in growth and stability.
Right, because that's loving your neighbor as yourself. Amen?
Amen.
And that's one of the laws. And if you break one, you've broken them all. Okay, then what?
We can be thankful that God has chosen us to be used by him. Chapter 14, verses 22 through 23. Time alone to focus on our task and pray.
Yeah, see, we're used by him. And also, used by him means that we're houses, we're temples. Know you not that you're the temple of God and that you don't belong to yourself? He purchased you. Amen?
Amen.
And so, when you purchase a house, I'm going to keep giving this parable over and over again until it sinks into your brain, like the hair in a drain. All right? When you buy a house, you have the perfect right to live in it. You want to live in it, and you don't want anybody else moving in there with you. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
The Privacy Act. Well, that's that much more with the Lord. When he purchases you for a temple, he and he alone wants to live in there. He doesn't want you to live in there anymore. He says that we have to die out to our old life and let him do the living in us and the working in us and through us. I wish every preacher would preach this. Amen?
Amen.
Because it's the truth. Anything other than the truth is a lie. All right, then go ahead.
Praying is extremely necessary. It's a commandment of the Lord to pray always.
All right, and if you don't do that, then that's breaking a law, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, pray without ceasing. Pray always. Why? Because it's communicating with the Lord. It's a way of showing Him that you're consecrated unto Him, and He wants to lead, guide, and direct you. And how can He lead, guide, and direct you, and lead, guide, and direct anyone as to what to say on tapes and over the radio stations unless you're saying or preaching or teaching the things that the Lord wants you to preach and teach? Well, if you set the Lord aside and say, I don't care what He wants, I don't really think that people can hear from God, or I don't believe that God will give messages to me to give to other people, well, then you're doubting. And the Bible says, if you believe, you're saved. If you doubt, you're damned. Okay, now God is bigger than your thoughts. He knows your thoughts, too. And you're going to be judged by them. So don't let God judge you for having thoughts that He can't hear and answer your prayers. Believe that He can hear you and answer your prayers so that you're not condemned for doubt, for disbelief. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. It does to me. All right, then what?
Always pray and pray without ceasing, the Apostle Paul by the Spirit said.
Yeah, Jesus said pray always, and the Apostle Paul said pray without ceasing. Amen?
Amen.
Well, how are you going to do that? Well, just stay in a state of prayer. Sure, while you're talking, when I'm talking to people, I'm always asking the Lord, do the talking for me, Lord. And He does say that if you ever go to court, He says, don't think about what you're going to say, because the Father, and the Father that lives in you will do the talking. Amen?
Amen.
And I've experienced that in courtrooms. They'd ask questions that were hard questions, and all of a sudden something so wise would come from my mouth that it would just astound me, and the judges would be astounded, and the prosecutors would be astounded, and the media that was there would be astounded, and I would be astounded, because it's just a miracle, you know, how God talks to us, and if we talk to Him, He'll talk back. Believe it, the Lord says, call on me, and I'll hear you, and I'll answer you. Now, if you doubt that, well, then you're damned. All right? You say, well, Tony, you know, you're a big man of the Lord. I'm no more bigger than you. I just believe the Lord, that's all. And if you believe the Lord, He's no respecter of persons. He might do a bigger work in and through you than He did me. How do you know? I encourage you. I believe that He will do a larger work in and through you than He has through me. Because I was a slow, you know, I believe the Lord, and I know that He's done a great and mighty work, but I believe there's more to come, and that He needs hundreds of thousands of us to be praying to Him and hearing from Him. Because there's a lot of billions of souls in this world, and just one of us, or 10 or 100 of us is not enough. We need thousands, tens of thousands of brothers and sisters that believe the Lord, and millions of us to be praying to Him and hearing from Him. Okay? And if you think that He's so stupid that He can't talk, let me remind you, the Scripture says, He that made the ears, can He not hear? He made your goofy ears, okay, that don't believe Him. He made the eye, can He not see? And what does it say about it, can He not know? He that created everything, do you not think that He knows? He says He knows your very thoughts and intents, and you're going to be judged by them in heaven. So tear down all your negativism and pull it down. Pull these strongholds that Satan has lied to you and told you that, oh, you've always been a nothing all your life. But the Lord takes nothings, like I was a nothing, before, and He takes the nothings and puts them on top of the mountain. And He takes the somebodies that are sitting on top of the mountains and puts them down on a dunghill. the ones that doubt him. Okay, now go ahead.
It is necessary if we are engaged in any form of gaining growth in the Lord. I pray that no one believes that they are wasting their time when they're doing what the Lord tells them to do, or that they're wasting effort when they become little children, that they may enter the kingdom of heaven.
Right, we have to become like little children. What does that mean? Not silly children, but children that just really believe what God says. Because, you know, a child believes what you tell them. That's the childlike status or state that the Lord wants us in, is that we just receive like little kids do. Because in God's eyes, we're all little kids. You know, you could be 7 or 70 or 10 or 100, and you're still a little kid to the Lord. You know how the Lord is like eternal. 100 years to the Lord is nothing. Noah didn't even start having children until he was about 550 years old. People used to live to be 1,000 years old, 900 years old, 800 years old. I feel like a baby in comparison to these guys. Amen? And some of you that are 20 and 30 and 10 and 15 years old and 5, the Bible says for you to don't waste your youth on foolishness. Give all your youth to the Lord. Because if you do, there's a great reward for you. Be like Samuel that gave himself, his mother gave him to the Lord when he was just a young boy. And what a man he turned out to be. Amen?
Amen?
And Jeremiah, people like that, give yourself to the Lord when you're young. Trust him now and reap the tremendous rewards throughout eternity. Okay, then what?
Just believe the Lord as a little child does. It is important to keep recharging ourselves by receiving the Holy Spirit through the Word on a daily basis.
Well, you have to get your battery charged again. Amen?
Amen.
You need a jump start every day to stay in the Lord. Pray without ceasing. Oh, Lord, I don't feel like getting up today, but I know that I'm not supposed to go by feelings or, you know, love. It's a mood. I can't, no matter what mood I'm in, Lord, make me get up and do what I'm supposed to do. Amen?
Amen.
I don't feel like it, but, you know, you didn't feel like going to the cross either, but you did. I'm going to get up and get going. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord! Amen. Then what?
It is important to keep recharging ourselves by receiving the Holy Spirit through the Word on a daily basis because it helps us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. If we don't, we will not be able to endure.
And we will not be able to enter the kingdom of heaven because we're breaking the least of the commandments. Be zealous or I'll spit you out of my body, out of my mouth. Then what?
That's why you see so many people burn out. Because they don't have any oil in their lamps. They don't have the Spirit of the Lord to burn in them. Since Jesus took time out to pray and get filled up with the Holy Spirit and fire, we must, if we want to follow him, we must follow his example. That's what he tells us to do, is come and follow me. So having God deal with our defects can be frightening. We may stay trapped in destructive life patterns because we fear change, and I brought that out before. But don't fear change when it's the Lord changing you. You don't want to be yourself. We want to be like Jesus. We want Jesus to live and work in us so that we have assurance of eternal life.
Praise the Lord. And that was chapter 14 of the book of Matthew with its 36 verses. Translation and commentary, and now part 15 of receiving the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ.
It was in the same process that the Lord Jesus fought the battle from the time of his temptation at the beginning of his ministry. He continually fought with Satan.
If you don't know what that means, immediately after he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit came down upon him as a dove, he was driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted. He was fasted 40 days and 40 nights and was very hungry. And he fasted without food and water. I believe he didn't have any water. Moses went 2 times 40 days without food and water. Don't try that unless it's really of the Lord, unless the Lord really tells you to do that, because the Lord will not be with you in the fast. Choosing to fast on your own without being told by the Lord is a bad thing. And if he tells you to fast, don't back away from it, but do it. Because there'll be a great reward in that for you. But read that last line.
It was in the same process that the Lord Jesus fought the battle from the time of his temptation at the beginning of his ministry.
Right, and after the 40 days and 40 nights, he was tempted by the devil. And the devil offered him the entire world. The devil does not own the world. He took it illegally, the rulership of it, away from man. But still, God owns the earth, the heavens and the earth. And now he sent us back because of Christ. Now we are able to have the same power that Christ had in him. Even Christ tells us that we do. To come in and tell people in this world the kingdom of heaven is at hand, because God is with Christ and the Holy Spirit is in our mortal bodies now. And so we are to tell people that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and that we are here to overthrow the works of Satan in this world. And how do we do that? By preaching the gospel, the good news, which means that Christ came into the world, was sinless, died for our sins, shed his blood for our sins, and paid the price for us. Because of all of our sins, the law is so legal that the law demanded, that's the law of God, demanded that the price be paid. And the law is so strict that it demanded that someone had to pay the price for all of us had to pay the price. God said, if I go, even I come to my own law and say, I'm going to give myself as a ransom for all the people in the world. I'm going to give my life. I'm going to come to the world as a man, and I'm going to shed my blood, because there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. And I'm going to give my life, and I'm going to be buried, and then I'm going to raise from the dead on the third day. And anyone that believes in me, in my whole word, because I, God, am the word, and anyone that believes in that word, instead of Satan, because Satan is the reason why mankind fell, you have to choose to believe Satan or me. Now, if you choose Satan, then you're under the condemnation of the law, and you're going to hell in the lake of fire. But if you believe me, that I came into this world and ransomed you, and if you believe my word and keep my word in you to the end, and keep not only have it in your heart, but to do what I tell you to do, and let me live my life out in you, then, he says, you shall have eternal life. Believe on the word of God, and the word of God is Christ. The Bible says that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God, and thou shalt be saved. But if you doubt the word of God, and I mean any portion of it, you shall be damned. Now, there's a lot of people in churches that think they can just do whatever they want. They can be smart alecks, they can smart off, that they can goof on people, especially the leaders of the Lord. These people are so close to blaspheming the Holy Spirit that it's for sure there isn't anything funny about that, because there's no forgiveness in this world or in the world to come for doing that. But people that do that sort of thing, and they just think that there's a person in the Arkansas area that says, I'm just pacing myself. In other words, one of the real strong brothers said, this person seems as though they're dead. They asked him, he says, brother, when are you going to get out of first gear and go into second and third gear? He says, well, I'm just pacing myself. In other words, I don't believe that you should have zeal, as God, through his son Christ Jesus, said. Jesus said he'll spew that man out of his mouth. And anyone like him that thinks they can just sit around idle and not be a viable part of the work of God. Because if you don't let God live and work in and through you, then you're not a part of the body of Christ. And if you think you're just choosing your own lifestyle and that you are able to do that, then you just saying, I'm not going to be consecrated unto the Lord. I'm going to live. I'm not going to die either. I'm not going to die out my old life. I'm going to choose the kind of lifestyle I'm going to live. And Richard, this man named Richard in the area, says, I'm just pacing myself. I'm not going to be zealous like the Lord says. I'm not. Well, I have to tell you, Richard, and all the other Richards out there in the world, that you're in big trouble with the Lord if you don't repent and start getting busy for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and then what else here?
He continually fought with Satan, but when he ascended to the throne, he ceased fighting because he was no longer in his human flesh.
Right. Okay, then what?
Nevertheless, he continues to deal with the enemy through us until eventually our enemy will be subdued beneath the Lord's feet and become his footstool.
Right. We are the incarnation of the Lord. We're the continuation of the Lord's incarnation. He's sitting in heavenly places, and by the Spirit, we're sitting there with him, and he's working in and through us here on this earth. And if he's not working in and through you, then you're lost. Okay? You're not consecrated to the Lord, but you're just lost. And you're not, you may be sitting in a church, but you're lost. You're not, you may be sitting in a church, but you'd never won a soul in your life. And it doesn't even enter your mind to be a person that would bear fruit. The Lord likens us unto trees. And if you're a dead tree, you need the life of Christ in you to be able to bear fruit and to bear green leaves. Get busy, get right with the Lord. Okay, then what?
When we attain to the state of dealing together with Jesus, with the enemy, it is a proof that our life has attained to its highest peak.
Right, when we are together with Jesus fighting the enemy, then we are in the Spirit and we're saved. And we're, according to God's word, we're perfect because we're not under any condemnation. If there's condemnation on our soul, that means that we're under the condemnation of the law. But if we're not under the condemnation of the law and we're with the Lord, we may make mistakes and say things that are a little bit wrong here and there. But if we're throwing souls, or if we're not in the Spirit, then we're lost. Because there's no condemnation to those that walk after the Spirit. There's no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you walk after the flesh, if you're not in the Spirit, then you're in the flesh. And some people get very bored with that. It's too straight for them. They prefer to live condemned. And that's all right. That's your choice. That's the way you want it. And let me tell you, that's the way you're going to get it. And you may die tonight. It's sad that you made that decision today, because you may very well die tonight. And if you do, you're not going to be in heaven. And if you're not in heaven, you know where you'll be. Well, anyway, this is Pastor Tony Alamo stating that tomorrow we'll be doing chapter 15, Lord willing, of the book of Matthew. And also part 16 of Receiving the Fullness of the Stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until then, again, this is Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord.